satisfactory activity slowed.
Based on hitting a shareholder value as market capitalization.
A lot more global. So creating more programming not only for, you know, us here in the English-speaking U.S.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Thanks very much, producer Bennett Wicknight. This is Steve Bertrand on the Wintrust Business Lunch, Chicago's sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. It is Friday afternoon from the Allstate Skyline Studio. Thanks very much for tuning in. And well, look, you survived the first blizzard. You survived a blizzard of 2018. Andrea Haines has her snowshoes on and her parka still. You can take the hood off now, Andrea.
I love that that's not true.
The editor of Blue Sky Innovation in the Chicago Tribune follows innovation, tech, and things like that in the Trib. Thanks for coming by.
Sure, Steve. Good to be here via the Pedway, so I'm not even wearing a jacket.
The Pedway is a magic thing since we've moved. Each of us has moved north of the river. Only one of us has been declared to be one of the hippest offices in Chicago, I think.
I know. Wasn't that nice? Crane's named the Chicago Tribune new office as one of the most awesome ones in town, which I would kind of agree with. It's pretty swank.
Yeah, I love it here, too. It's funny how you're accustomed to one building for so long, and then once you move, you're like, not too shabby.
Yeah, new things.
Okay, I love my Apple Pay. I'm a big proponent now of Apple Pay. I switched not too long ago. When I switched credit cards, and I didn't have a chip before, or I didn't have a card that I used with a chip, and then I did, and it was kind of, it slowed things down a little bit, and I knew people who tried Apple Pay, so I used it. I love it. And now I read in Blue Sky that soon our credit cards might be able to do the same thing that that Apple Pay can do, right? Explain that for me.
Yeah, so credit cards, which, as you know, we've kind of made the annoying transition to the insert and wait, you know, 10 to 39 seconds for that transaction while things beep at you, and it's kind of unpleasant. What we are looking at next is the contactless, as it's magically named, credit card, which is more of a tap kind of situation.
Which is funny because we call it contactless, and yet there's contact involved. But maybe you don't have to physically tap the reader, just
get it
over.
Yeah, it's kind of a tap slash scan kind of thing that should be much quicker. And what's driving that is the New York subway and other transit systems are going to that. And so finally, the banks that have kind of resisted this or just not been very fast about it realize they're having to get on board.
I love that story. It reminds me of a story years ago about textbooks in the country and how state laws in Texas impacted the textbooks that my kids were reading because there were so many students in Texas that the textbook companies would cater to them. Long story, but so here we are, the New York subway, so many customers there that the banks now are coming around and we're going to have different credit cards because of the way people commute in from Staten Island.
Exactly. It just kind of is one of those things like you're mentioning that creates a tipping point. You know, it's just, this is it. You cannot fight it anymore. So Visa is saying that 100 million of its cards in the U.S. will be converted to this sort of tap method by the end of next year.
And how many companies now or how many businesses now use like the tap method when it comes to Apple Pay? Because it's the same thing, right? Same technology kind of?
Yeah. So there's about 30% don't. So I guess about 70% do. But some of those that don't are big players like Walmart. So they're going to have to get ready for this too.
And the retailers don't like the technology or they don't like Apple Pay because I'm not sure I understood that. And I don't know if you do either, but it limits the way they can route the money or what is that?
Exactly. It's kind of a back end thing that like they want to search for the cheapest way to, you know, process transactions on the back end. And it limits them there a little bit.
But it will be big money for the banks because we won't be using cash anymore.
Exactly. It's, you know, it's one of those has to happen things. And it looks like this will push it forward faster.
I was behind a woman, I think it was in Walgreens last week, and she was paying with cash like I used to and paying with exact change like I used to. And I, you know, it's hard not to be really annoyed because it took so long. But I mean, it's just, you know, then I realized, well, that's what she likes to do. But it's a different world now when it comes to buying things.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, that Dave Ramsey method, which is cash budgeting, is the one area where I see even like millennials or people that I will see on Instagram or YouTube, they're using that method as a way of controlling their spending. So it's interesting that the faster we go toward all these other methods, there are still people who are controlling their spending by using actual cash.
Which brings me
in front of you in line.
Brings me to the Amazon gift catalog, right? The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yes, coming in your mail, it sounds like within the next week or so, will be the first Amazon toy catalog.
The Toys R Us this year.
For the holidays.
What's the market? Is it $30 billion, $300 billion, a gazillion, $3.3 billion?
Yeah, $3.3 billion toy market, which, as we've probably talked about on here, Toys R Us being out of the picture has your Amazons, your Walmarts, your Targets all trying to get an extra piece of that toy business.
And so the Sears wish list won't be in the mail probably, but the Amazon toy catalog will be without prices in it.
I agree. I thought that was so interesting, too, right? Because that is one of the modern things about it. You can still go through and circle the gifts you want as a kid, but for mom and dad and Santa, they will not see a price because Amazon wants to maintain the ability to change pricing as the season goes on.
So at first I thought, well, they're not putting the price there because they want you to go online and get a step closer to buying it and see the price there. But that's not even it. The price is going to change through the season.
Yeah, I think what you say is probably also true. They definitely want to bring you online to do that transaction quickly.
Right.
But they also want the pricing flexibility, so they're not going to promise you a price in the catalog.
And I want to ask you about a story that was in Red Eye, too, that I know is getting a lot of play. And it has to do with African-American-owned restaurants on the north side.
On the north side.
Tell me about that.
So this flipped the script a little bit from what you might expect. So Red Eye received a question on Twitter some months ago from a reader who wanted to support Black-owned businesses, particularly restaurants, on the north side. And we were fascinated by that because I don't think that's a list I've seen. I've seen a lot of different types of lists, but I don't know if I've seen that one. So Shade Carpenter, who is an editor and reporter on Red Eye, went and found 24 Black-owned restaurants on the north side, talked to some of those chefs. So there's a great guide in Red Eye this week that's kind of blowing up on social media, and like people are really enjoying sharing it and talking about it.
I like that because, you know, we have this, you can call it, I'll call it prejudice, and it can be a sort of an innate prejudice, maybe, of thinking that that doesn't exist or so little exists. So it's nice to see something like that. And clearly others are reacting to it as well.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago is undeniably, you know, there's some geographic, you know, realities about who lives where. But this seems to have tapped into a group of all kinds of people, like people who are curious about the restaurants and want to check them out regardless. But there are Black people on the north side or Black people in the loop. And, you know, they are also responding to it because it's creating a great list of places for them to check out. And they like the idea of supporting these businesses.
Where do people find that list?
That's in Red Eye, so redeyechicago.com, or you can find it on chicagotribune.com as well.
Andrea Haines, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Okay, a little bit later in the program, after Domati has the headlines coming up, we'll go to East Lafayette, Indiana, West Lafayette, Indiana, West, I think, where Purdue is, to talk to Jerry McCartney. He's the executive vice president and CIO of Purdue. But they just finished this conference this week called Dawn or Doom, looking at technology and how we can harness it or maybe run away from it. I don't know. Before that, though, we say hello to Lisa Stover, who is the founder of Presto Real Estate. Lisa, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you so much.
I'm happy to talk to you. Presto Real Estate is a new name for a company that's been around a few years, right? Tell me what you do.
That is true. We are a full-service real estate company. We were created to meet a need, specifically the need of today's seniors who are a burgeoning market. They are just needing to move and needing help with that. So instead of just coming along and listing their home and helping them with the sale of that home, we come in and help with the whole process, the whole transition.
I think there's so many people, obviously senior residents who need to deal with it, but the children of senior residents who would love to have your help in this, right? And that's kind of, I mean, you were already in real estate when you came up with this idea, right? Because as I recall, you were working with your own mom and realized that this could be a business.
Yes. Yep. After that transition, I thought, wow, I can't be the only one that needs help with a parent. And like you said, adult children really welcome our services as much, if not even more, than the seniors themselves. But whoever it is that enlists us, we have had great success, and we don't see any end in sight. We're just getting busier as we go.
Now, I think that you did 100 moves, or you're on pace to do 100 moves this year?
Yeah, we're very busy. We need help. We need great agents, because typical real estate agents will help their clients sometimes, you know, farm out some of these other pieces and parts, and our goal is to bring it all under one umbrella so they don't have to look for or call or follow up on all those other things that need to get done.
Well, I'm interested that you refer to them as moves and not sales or purchases, right? So does every client that you work with buy or sell their property, or Are you moving to rentals, or you know exactly what is that?
Yep, just a little bit of everything, yeah. To be honest with you. Many of them have homes that they've lived in for 40 or 50 years that are full of goodies, treasures, and in need of repair. So we address that whole piece. But oftentimes we'll work with senior communities, local senior communities in the Chicagoland area that will call on us to just help a resident make a move. So they may have been in a rental situation. They may have a realtor already, and they just need to make a move. So we will help with.
And you'll pack up everything. You'll move everything. You'll take stuff to Goodwill if it needs to go, or will you sell it as well?
You know what? We will facilitate an estate sale.
Okay.
We don't sell items on eBay or singular items. If something seems like it's of great value, I'll certainly put it out there and see if we can find a buyer for it. One of my many estate sale partnerships might have a need for something, but by and large, we'll have an estate sale, or we'll just do donations, Lisa, a clean out if it's not a great situation.
Right. Mm-hmm. What's your competition? Because it sounds really unique to me, and yet I read there's a National Association of Senior Move Managers, so there must be competition out there for you.
There is competition out there, and that's who they are. We are actually on the NASM board, not on the board, but we are members of NASM, the National Association of Senior Move Managers. And so there are move management companies out there that do what we do. Again, we have just bundled it all together,
right,
so that it's not having to find different contractors for every piece of the job. The family, especially if an adult child doesn't live in state, it's easier for them if they have one person they need to talk to.
It's called Presto Real Estate. Lisa Stover is the woman behind it all. How do people find out more information?
Well, they can call directly. The 800 number is great. 800-495-1120 or info@prestorealestate.com. We are just about done with our franchise docs, and we're hoping to expand. So we're really looking for some great agents out there.
Excellent. Okay, and so in a few years when you move me, I've saved all my college papers.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't like that, but really try to preserve them because people are going to want to read what I said to say in college one day.
Oh, and they will. We'll take care of that. Nice. We got you covered.
Thanks very much, Domitee. Steve Bertrand here. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's Bank, on 720 WGN. All right, we have always progressed, right, as a species from the caves to the Bronze Age, the Industrial Revolution, and we continue to move forward. But maybe we are moving forward now faster than ever before. I think that's probably one of the themes of this symposium, Dawn or Doom, at Purdue University. Jerry McCartney is one of the guys behind it, the Executive Vice President and CIO of Purdue, and he joins us on a phone line now. Jerry, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Delighted to be here.
I'm really glad that you're here because you're probably a little exhausted, right? It's been a busy week.
It's been a busy week, all right. We had our busiest ever conference this year. This is the fifth one we've done. We were in one every year at about this time.
And so, you know, the idea of progress, right, that is what we do. We have always, I think, for the most part, made progress. But it feels like or seems like we are in this era of, I don't know, if it's hyper-progress, if it's the acceleration is faster than ever before. It feels like perhaps this is a different time. Now, it's my only time, so I don't know how I can register that, but you tell me about that. Are we moving faster than ever before?
Yeah, I think part of the challenge now, Steve, is, you know, change used to come slower. There's always been change. That's absolutely true. But change is coming quicker now and in very specialized ways. And the worry here is, on the one hand, you know, is this the dawn of a new age,
right,
or all these wonderful, great new opportunities and technologies, or doom in the sense of, are we making decisions now that are not reversible, that somehow have effects that we don't fully understand?
And so will we look
in a wide range?
So you're saying in the future, will we look back at this time and say, we should have gone in this direction rather than this, and that's going to cost us?
Well, in the extreme case, we may not be looking back at all because we might have wiped ourselves out.
Well, that would be the doom part, right?
That would absolutely be the doom path, with a capital D, yes.
Can you give me an example of what you're talking about there, moving one way or another and choices like that?
Well, on the milder form, and some of the things we were focused on this year, is this sense of, like, using algorithms for making all kinds of decisions about whether you get bail, whether you get a mortgage, whether you get a car loan. You know, that if people want to get a mortgage decision in 20 seconds, you can be pretty sure a human isn't going to be involved in that decision.
Right.
And are we doing things that, you know, are systematically hurting people? We had great comments on that. We had great comments on, you know, if we can know pretty early on from your genetic history and from other behaviors and so on, what your health path is likely to be, can we make decisions around employment based on that? Because, you know, the law needs to catch up and public policy needs to catch up in this space, because it's certainly the case that some of our big social media companies now know an awful lot about us, stuff that we've volunteered.
And so, let's go back to different times in history, and I don't know if you have an answer to this question, but have there been similar questions or situations where we had a choice and maybe took the wrong choice?
Well, I don't know if we took the wrong choice, because, you know, we have, you know, what the economists would call survivor bias. Mm-hmm. We're alive, so clearly somebody in the past made a set of right choices as far as we're concerned. But if you look at empires that did flourish, and I'm going way back here, you know, the Sumerians or the Aztecs or the Incas, clearly they made choices in there that probably weren't very prudent, because they no longer exist as empires or as significant cultural presences. I mean, we're still here. And again, it's not that doom is inevitable here, because it absolutely isn't. We're a thoughtful, reflective, smart people. And, you know, back in the 70s, we thought, you know, everything that was made in Japan, for example, was going to, you know, completely vanquish everything U.S. made. Well, it didn't turn out like that, right? Because we change as people, we change as cultures and countries. And what we're trying to do here is just light up some of these points and say, you know, maybe there's a couple of topics in there we should be worried about.
I mean, does the event end with suggestions or just more questions?
Well, it's more to stimulate discussion. So, in fact, this year is part of a 150th celebration, which is a series of important conversations as a way we're thinking about these great ideas around space exploration, health. I mean, what happens when we all live to be 150 years old? Is that even a good thing, right?
Right.
If, you know, 70 or 80 of them are in decrepitude, you know, what kind of life is that, right? But maybe they aren't. Maybe they're 150 years of wonderful, full health. And, of course, then AI and artificial intelligence and analytics and the use of data, which is more what we're focused on here particularly.
Jerry McCartney is the Executive Vice President, CIO of Purdue University, and one of the driving forces behind Dawn or Doom. Okay, so this year's is over. I'm assuming there will be one for next year. But how do people catch up on what they just missed this week?
Well, you can visit our website called, pretty obviously, Dawn or Doom. If you Google that, that will draw you to the Dawn or Doom 2018, and will show you the agendas and the speakers. In a short while, we'll have many of the presentations up in video form. People can, you know, all this at, obviously, no charge, but just to help stimulate the conversation.
I appreciate you helping us stimulate our conversation today, Jerry. Thanks very much. I hope we can talk again.
Thank you, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. In the last year, this great city of ours has done quite a lot. We've chosen a new governor, we're on our way to selecting a new mayor, and it's all in hopes of making this place that we live in a better place for businesses, communities, and overall well-being. There are a number of efforts that came from simple ideas being thrown back and forth between friends and colleagues, all at events like the Downtown Future Series. It's a series of events at 1871 that focuses on the neighborhoods that make up this great city. The next Downtown Future Series is on Wednesday, November 14th at the 1871 Auditorium at 5:30 p.m. And all you have to do is register at 1871.com.
Target.com. And speaking of some of those neighborhoods, many are keeping their fingers crossed that a replacement for the two Southside Target stores in the Chatham and Morgan Park neighborhood is coming soon. Think about it. For a number of people in the neighborhood, it's like having a grocery store decide that one day it's going to close and you don't know when the next one is coming in. Mayor Emanuel has said that he's talked with the Target CEO multiple times, but their decision is final. We'll be keeping an eye on the buzz that will surely follow this story. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Our number of the week this week is $284 million, as in $284 million. So get this, you know, we talked with Adobe Analytics earlier in the week. They estimate that the one extra shopping day between Cyber Monday and Christmas Day will boost retail sales this year by an extra $284 million. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. And we say hello to Front Row Phyllis, who's in the studio. Nice to see you, Phyllis.
Good to see you.
Say, take some of that extra shopping time, right, to buy tickets for a concert or something like that.
Yeah, some of the plays that are coming up, right?
Okay, so you know what I did last weekend? I saw Boz Scaggs.
Oh, you did? Did you love it?
I loved it.
Right?
Yeah, he was at the North Shore Theater for Performing Arts. And I love that place. You know, we're really lucky that we have so many smaller venues around.
Yeah.
Where you can see guys like Boz Scaggs.
And, yeah.
Up in Waukegan, I go from time to time, too. But yeah, it was a great show.
All right. Yeah. And it's a great venue. Easy access, right? That's what I say.
I know. I had this parking strategy. It was really cool. So, but that was last weekend.
Right.
What do we got this weekend? The Ballet Folklorico? Tell me about that.
We do. It is tomorrow and on Sunday. There's a 7:30 performance tomorrow and then 3 o'clock on Sunday. And this is a show for the entire family. It is seriously high energy, captivating, incredible costume, beautiful set design, and recognized actually internationally as one of the best traditional Mexican dances.
And that's at the Auditorium Theater, right?
Auditorium Theater, yeah.
And I would imagine tickets are still available then?
Yeah, tickets are still available, yep.
Miss Saigon is coming to Chicago?
Yes, I am so excited. So it's only here for a couple of weeks, November 14th through the 8th.
I saw Miss Saigon in England, in London, probably in 1995.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is actually a revival.
Right.
And we all know that incredible story of the Vietnamese girl that falls in love with the young soldier. And then because of the fall of Saigon, they're separated. And so she spends 3 years trying to find him. And all I got to say is bring a box of Kleenex.
And watch out for the helicopter, because the helicopter.
Yes.
All right, so there's that one. Oh, the Michelle Obama event's coming up next week. So she's just out with her book. She's getting a lot of pub today, talking about different things.
And, yeah.
About how she, I don't know what it is she said she'd never forgive President Trump for, but the president responded by
tweeting?
No. Today he was asked about it and said he would never forgive her, President Obama, for what he did with the military. So
okay.
So we got that pub going for
us. Yeah, you do. And you'll get a chance to really see her up close and personal. She's very candid in her conversation. Everything about marriage to being a first lady in the White House. She just wants to really relate to people things that she's gone through in her life.
And so this is the event is it with Oprah?
Yeah, this is the one that's with Oprah, and it's on November 13th, kicking off here on her tour at the United Center.
That's got to be sold out, right?
No, there are still tickets available. Yeah,
okay.
And sometimes as it gets closer to the event, they open up a little bit more.
I think it was really expensive, wasn't it?
Well, it's probably not inexpensive, put it that way.
And then finally, one of the holiday classics coming in, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yes, so your heart is going to grow just a few sizes bigger once you catch this. It is November 16th through the 25th. It is How It Stole Christmas, the musical, over at Chicago Theater.
I hope it's a good performance or good production, because I didn't like the Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah, no, I think this is nicer.
I don't like that my kids' view of the Grinch was the Jim Carrey movie.
Right.
All right, so where do people find more information, Phyllis?
Just go to frontrowphyllis.com.
Nice to see you. Have a great weekend.
You too.